wake up, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
I'm in Augusta, Georgia at the Masters, and Jeff Diamond is not, and that doesn't seem fair. I know Jeff's a better golfer than I am. I'm sure he's played much better courses across the country. It's a privilege for me to be here, and Jeff, you should be here. You're not, so I guess we'll talk football. Have you ever been to Augusta National?
Yes, I have. Hi, Jim. I am very jealous that you're in Augusta, of course, but I was very fortunate that when I was with the Titans that I got to know a gentleman named Toby Wilt, who is an Augusta member. And we were actually, he was the president of the golf club I belonged to down in Nashville. And so we had just made it to the Super Bowl back in 1999. And I got a call from Toby, and he said to me, "Jeff, I'm really excited about what's going on with the team. I want you to put together a group, and we're going to go to Augusta this coming spring." And I said, "Oh, that's fantastic, Toby. I've always wanted to go to the tournament." He goes, no, we're going to go play the course." And I thought, oh my God, the Super Bowl is great, but being able to go to Augusta and play Augusta, that even better than going to the Super Bowl. So we actually went that year with eight of us, including six of the Titans and a couple of Toby and another Augusta member, and played four rounds and had a fantastic time. And then he said, "Anytime you get to the final four, the conference championship, we're going to go back." So we actually went back another year, actually two more years. He took us another year too. So I had fantastic times at Augusta, and actually did go to the tournament the year that I'm trying to remember. I think it was the year. Who's the left-hander from Canada?
The left-hander.
He's the guy who won that year.
Oh, Mike Weir.
Mike Weir. Yeah, the year Mike Weir won. We went to the tournament.
Canada, I immediately flashed on baseball. Yes, Mike Weir.
Yeah, and so it was also exciting to go to the tournament. But I think the thing that people don't realize that haven't actually been there, and I know you understand this, is just the elevation changes at Augusta are so dramatic. Going up 18 and going down 10, those kind of holes are just amazing. So I love Augusta. The Masters is my favorite tournament to watch on TV because we know what the holes are, and I think it makes it that much more exciting. So I'm happy you're there, and it's nice and warm there. But it's been nice and warm here, too, up north, so we've been okay. And the golf season is much earlier this year, so I'm happy about that here.
Yes, I am, too. Looking forward to getting back. All right, let's get to football. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider, part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. You can follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they are released. And thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton. Wherever you listen, we recommend subscribing, but listen however you like. Rate us. Let us know how we're doing. We'd appreciate it. And also, we appreciate our sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore. All right, so we're going to talk about Eric Fisher and a lot of speculation and even some not so great news for the Vikings. But let's start off with something relatively fun and positive. Rashad Bateman has his pro day.
Yeah, and that was exciting late last week. And at the University of Minnesota, and Rashad, there, I think almost every team was represented, since Rashad is projected to be a top 40 type pick and could well make it in the first round. I think he solidified his stock with a really excellent pro day. So we're very excited. And of course, we represent him at IFA, as you know, along with his running mate from the Gophers, Tyler Johnson. And so really excited about Rashad's performance at the pro day. He had worked very hard out in Arizona getting ready for it, and he had actually run a 4.3740 at Exos in Scottsdale getting ready for this pro day and his pre-draft prep. And so he did follow that up with a four, anywhere between 4.35 and 4.4. But most of the, I think, scouts had measured around 4.39, and which is very solid speed-wise, and also had a 36-inch vertical, which was really, really strong and excellent. Looked good in the catching drills, and And so I think really he's in a great position now. And most draft people, whether it's clubs or analysts, have him as probably the fourth or fifth top wide receiver in this draft. It so happens to be a really excellent wide receiver draft, probably to our chagrin in that regard, that it is going to be another great receiver draft, just like last year was. And so there are a ton of excellent receivers out there, Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, but Rashad is going to be right up in the mix. And so we're hoping that he'll be perhaps even get to the middle first round or late first round. And I think there's some really good potential landing spots for him, a team such as Baltimore and maybe even Green Bay, even though the Vikings would not want to face him twice a year. But I think that could be a possibility. I think some of the interesting comparisons too, Jim, that I've seen and heard about from some of the scouts, they're kind of comparing him a little bit to Michael Thomas of the Saints and a little bit to Justin Jefferson too. And so I think those are all solid. But it's really that time of year where there's a lot of speculation. We know that. That's what goes with the draft and all these mock drafts and everything. And you just never know how it's all going to shake out until the final analysis. But the pro day went really well for Rashad, and really happy for him.
I'm doing my own talk show now at TalkNorth.com. We are still looking for exactly the right name. The first episode is called The Audacity, but too many other people across the world have used that title, so we're going to look for something new. But first interview is with Derek Falvey. I also do a commentary section and then an interview section. First interview is with Derek Falvey of the Twins. Very good stuff. Second one will be with Nafisa Collier, who's in France right now playing basketball. And if you would like to advertise with this show, that show, or any of the shows across the Talk North platform, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. All right, now let's turn to a less pleasant subject. Jeff Gladney is being charged with basically beating up his girlfriend. We're not going to get into the gory details. It's a horrible story. But you've had to deal with things like this. I've always thought that, you know, listen, I'm in a position where I can write my opinion about what an organization should do. And frankly, I try to be responsible with it, but it's pretty easy to sit on the outside and make those decisions. When you're in your seat, when you're a general manager, a team president, and you have a key player who has done something bad, I mean, how do you have, you already have so much invested in the person. How do you handle this?
Yeah, I think it's really difficult. And I can certainly empathize with Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer in a situation such as this, and the Wilfs too, because ownership does get involved in situations like this because the image of the team is involved, and it's very difficult. And you can sit there and say, yeah, we have a no tolerance policy, which you can have a no tolerance policy, and you should have a no tolerance policy against this type of domestic violence. I think it's horrendous. And I think they have to take a very, very close look at the Gladney situation and see how it's resolved legally and in terms of the NFL investigation, and make a decision on whether they want him to be part of their future. I always kind of felt that I really didn't want players like that in my organization if this is a proven fact. But again, you're talking about a number one draft choice that the team has invested a lot of money in on a signing bonus, just in terms of their scouting process. So it's easy. It's almost a double standard, honestly, that you say, yeah, if it's a seventh round pick or an undrafted player, he's going to get cut tomorrow as soon as if it's proven that he's guilty. And that's the no tolerance. But if it's a first round pick, if it's a premier starter, it's something like that, then it's really tough. And you have to make a determination. How important is this guy? And are you going to get him the support? Are you going to get him the counseling that he needs? And I always felt in a case such as a Tyreek Hill, and I don't know if this is more or less on the same wavelength as that in terms of the what happened in this case, but I thought Tyreek Hill was despicable. I thought the Chiefs were ridiculous to give him a $17 million a year deal when this thing was still had just happened and they were trying to still figure out what was going on. And but they made the determination they're going to get him counseling, they're going to get him the help that he needs, and so perhaps that's what's going to happen with Gladney. But it's an ugly situation. It's a nightmare, honestly, for an organization to deal with something like this. And I think it also, in some respects, dramatizes the importance of the Viking signings of Patrick Peterson and Mackenzie Alexander that now look more important if Gladney could potentially face a suspension or if they decide to move on from him if this thing is proven. And so I think those signings are really even more important now, but we'll just have to see how it all works out. But it's a nightmare for a general manager, very honestly, and we'll just see what happens with it.
All right, let's thank our sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore. You can find all their inventory, all their deals, all their great vehicles at whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Always excited to talk about the White Bear Lake Superstore Buick GMC and my longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gutrell. Their great staff are Minnesota's number one volume Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and with their super friendly premium team. Get over there, it's springtime, and check it out, White Bear Lake Superstore. And you'll see at their great website too, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, great pricing on the first ever Buick Encore GX, stylish and nimble. And there's an up to 18% offer below MSRP on 2021 Buick SUVs and a $5,000 purchase allowance plus an additional $250 purchase allowance for current Buick or GMC owners or lessees on 2021 GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab models, plus $500 bonus cash if you go through GM Financial. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore, and they are a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut, so visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
Fascinating trade, Sam Darnold to Carolina for a few draft picks, but not really super high draft picks. And that means Teddy Bridgewater is probably looking for a job or has to settle for being a backup. It means Carolina obviously thinks Sam Darnold is a completely on a different level than Teddy Bridgewater. And it means that the market in general did not value Darnold all that much, given that there are teams out there looking for quarterbacks and that, you know, are facing maybe having to draft a kid. What did you make of all of that?
Yeah, I thought it was a little surprising how cheap the Panthers got him for a sixth rounder this year and a second and a fourth in 2022. And a pretty cheap price for a former third overall pick who played on a dreadful team without a great supporting cast. And now he's going to play with a top running back in Christian McCaffrey. He's got better receivers in DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. And so you're talking about a guy that I think has an opportunity, and he's going to work with an innovative coordinator in Joe Brady, who had great success at LSU, as we know, and Matt Rhule, who had explosive offenses at Temple and Baylor. So I think it's a potentially good situation for Darnold, and we'll just see how this one works out. But I think he's definitely going into a situation with a much better supporting cast, especially if Christian McCaffrey can stay healthy, because we know he's a top five running back in the league if he is. And as you said, not good news for Teddy Bridgewater, who probably now has to fend off Darnold, but you got to figure Darnold's going to be the guy. And I think it kind of opens the door for the Panthers now to go out and perhaps draft another top wide receiver out of this great wide receiver class, and that'll help them too. So it's unfortunate for Teddy, but Teddy's made some pretty good money the last few years too.
Yeah.
And it's still a great comeback story for him, but I think he's probably gonna end up somewhere again as a backup, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and again, you know, there's always the two-pronged approach to talking about professional athletes. You know, Teddy's made himself a very good living and is doing exactly what he wants to do with his life, which is great. But a part of he does kind of wish that he had just gotten a chance to play it out with the Vikings and been healthy, because, you know, he's not a great quarterback, but he might be a good fit for the right team, and it felt like they had built the right team around him here.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that, and so we do wish him the best, and I think this obviously sets up Zach Wilson as the likely target for the Jets at the number two draft spot this year, and unless there's a surprise and they go a different direction, because it certainly sounds like the 49ers are leaning towards Mac Jones of Alabama. And then the question is, where does Justin Fields from Ohio State fit into the mix, and Trey Lance from North Dakota State? So there still could be a surprise in those quarterback picks. But the most important thing for the Vikings is they want all those quarterbacks to be drafted before the 14th pick, because that slides down all those top offensive linemen. And a lot of projections out there of the Vikings going after one of those top offensive linemen. Perhaps we've seen projections of Sewell from Oregon or Slater from Northwestern, the two top tackles in the draft, and Vera Tucker from USC, who can play inside or outside. Any one of those guys would slide in really well and start immediately. But again, we had mentioned earlier in the show, Eric Fisher is an interesting part of this equation on how the Vikings may be approaching the offensive line. And if they can get a bargain one-year deal on a Pro Bowl caliber tackle who is coming off a torn Achilles, but they're saying he's projected to be back by mid-August, that could be interesting. And maybe Mitchell Schwartz, their other tackle, who's also coming off an injury from the Chiefs, he could be in the mix too. We don't know that. But I would say either one of those guys could be an interesting signing and potentially an upgrade from Riley Reiff. But also, these young tackles could be a great addition also. And we'll see if they, for example, took a Vera Tucker and then decided to move Ezra Cleveland to left tackle, which was where he was drafted originally. All of a sudden, that offensive line could look pretty solid. And maybe Mason Cole, who they got in the trade with Arizona, he could help inside on a short-term basis. They did re-sign Dakota Dozier, but I think we've seen enough of Dakota to know that he should be a backup.
Yeah, and as for Fisher and Schwartz, two guys who were really highly regarded before their injuries, part of the championship team. Schwartz, had the grades he's put up during his career have been really spectacular. If you're the Vikings, what's the timing like? If you want one of those players, do you need to sign them before the draft, or do you wait and see how the draft plays out and hope that they still might be around after?
Well, I think when you're getting this close to the draft, I think they'll probably want to wait. But that's dangerous, too, if there are other teams that are after him. I think they just have to kind of gauge the market and see and continue to have discussions with their representatives and hope that the agent is steering them correctly and saying that, we're getting ready to do something here. And of course, the agents are going to try to create urgency for a team because they want their guys signed before the draft so that they don't get out of the equation if a team does choose a guy in the first round. So even if they do, for example, pick a Vera Tucker or one of those top tackles, it's not easy to step in your first year as a rookie and be a starter. And so I still think it would be a great move if they feel confident enough in Fisher or Schwartz that they could be a bridge for a year or maybe even more, that I say go after those guys, because we've seen enough of this offensive line being just not solid. And if they can add some really quality players and increase the competition and then see how it all develops and shakes out, that's fine. Kind of what they're doing in the secondary this year by adding a bunch of veteran guys to come into the mix with these young players. And I think that's a good idea, especially if they've got enough cap room, and or maybe they could do one more restructure, but probably not with Kirk Cousins.
Right, probably not. All right, last topic for today. And again, you can find all the shows at TalkNorth.com. Subscribe to your favorite podcast app. Subscriptions are free. Check out the Viking Update show I do with John Krasinski for a different view of the Minnesota Vikings. And, of course, we have people like Cheryl Reeve, Roy Smalley, John Millay, John Krasinski, Michael Russo, and the LaPanta, plus our outdoor shows, plus Bar Down Beauties, Go for Hole. We have just tons of stuff at the network. We're adding some big names in the next month as well. So the draft is almost upon us. The Falcons are picking four. It looks like the top three teams are absolutely going quarterback. Do you see the Falcons trading out at four?
I think that's very possible, and I think they still could decide to draft a quarterback of the future there too, with Matt Ryan in his, I guess, mid-30s now. And although I think Matt Ryan is still a quality player, the Vikings saw that last year when he beat him here. But I think that it sounds like the Falcons could easily be going for one of the top position players too, and that would be, I think that'd be a good move on their part too, if they could draft perhaps one of the top corners in the draft. They'll have a chance to get perhaps a Kyle Pitts, who is, a lot of people think he's maybe the most talented player in this draft, the tight end out of Florida, or again, one of those top offensive linemen, but also, as I said, have a chance at the top corners. And so there are a lot of good players. Patrick Surtain from Alabama, the corner, could be a target for them. But I wouldn't be shocked if they went quarterback either, just because of how important that position is.
Absolutely. Let's get a final thought from Jeff. Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thanks also to our sales executive, Karen Clary. Again, you can reach her at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com if you'd like to advertise with this show or any of the other shows on the network. Final thought for you, Jeff, on this beautiful day in Augusta, Georgia.
Yes. I think we didn't talk last week about when the NFL owners decided to formally go to the 17th regular season game and knock the preseason back to three games, which I thought great move to knock the preseason down. And I'd even support going down to two preseason games because they're just dreadful games. And adding that 17th regular season game, very controversial that the players approved that possibility in the last collective bargaining agreement. And then you've got players such as Alvin Kamara coming out and saying, oh, really dumb move. And which is kind of ridiculous to be saying that a year after the fact, because you knew it was coming. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that this has happened. But I think it's ultimately good for the sport. And I'm not sure in the final analysis that these veterans are going to be playing any more than they did before, because first of all, there's one less preseason game and the top veterans played very little in preseason anyway. And I think that 17th regular season game for a lot of teams, it could be meaningless because they could have already solidified their playoff spot or be out of the mix at that point. And so I don't think it's that big a deal that some players and some people are making it out to be. And I think from the player standpoint, it was also a factor in this network TV deal being potentially doubled over the next 10 years, and which is going to create a lot more money for them. So I think in the big picture for the players, it's still a good thing. And I don't think it's going to create that much more injuries or that be that much more unsafe for players, because I just don't think they're going to be playing that much more.
Oh, I agree with you. And it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of pushback there is from players, if any at all. And will any coaches kind of go the route of baseball managers handling modern pitchers and say, I'm going to hold my stars out for 1 week, or I'm going to give them a break at some point during the season just so they're healthy going down the stretch and into the playoffs. Of course, you have to be good enough to have some comfort that you're going to make the playoffs. Do you see any of that?
Yeah, well, I think that's difficult because in the NFL, when you're only playing 17 games, it's hard to have, for example, the number one overall seed clinched at any time. And if a team does, if a team goes on a run such as our 1998 Vikings, we're at 15-1, and we knew we were going to be the top seed. But even that year, Atlanta was only one game behind us. So it's hard to say that you're going to have everything clinched and everything wrapped up, but perhaps you will, and then they will sit players, which they've already done anyway. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's, as I said, kind of much to do about not that much of a big deal. And I don't think the 17th game is going to make that big an impact in terms of how coaches strategically approach it, because there's still a bye week, and there's really actually an extra bye week because the preseason, now they're going to end it and then have a week before the regular season starts. So it's almost like there's two bye weeks under the new schedule. And so I think teams will be able to manage their workload for their players that way. And I think the other thing that could happen is they may still lighten the load on off season for players, which they've already started because of the pandemic. And I think that may continue, even though there will be some on-field stuff. But once the pandemic is past us, hopefully soon in the future, then maybe they will have an even shorter off-season program, which can help players' longevity.
Good stuff from Jeff. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. We'll be back next week with more draft speculation and more NFL news.